Hello there.
Yeah. I like the sound of that. That means it's time for another one of these Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcasts.
Well, I've got a Grinchy idea.
What's that, Petra?
You know what you give mom for Mother's Day?
She is hard to shop for, and it's not really the best time to go out shopping for anyone.
It's a podcast.
There you go, Ma.
There you go, Ma. Take it all.
Take it all. It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. I'm Dave, and he's Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by Capriotti's Sandwich Shop on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak, and now the Impossible Cheesesteaks. And yes, they are open each and every day. So take advantage from 11 till 7 with curbside takeout and delivery. That includes delivery by My Town to Go, DoorDash, Uber Eats, and Grubhub.
Terrific. A lot to get to today, including a visit from the pride and joy of Cambridge, Illinois. Apparently he's got something up his sleeve.
Maybe literally.
See what I did there? But first, let's get started with number one.
Number one.
Number one.
Do you remember the story we had a couple of days ago where there was a monkey in India on a motorcycle that tried to kidnap a child?
Yes.
Now there's a story from India of a monkey that enters a bank and starts taking off pieces of the ATM to get the money in the ATM. Is this like a ring of criminal monkeys?
Are they trained?
Police in India said officers suspect thieves were behind the damage that was done to an ATM. They took a look at the security camera footage and discovered that the machine was partially disassembled by a monkey. Now, this monkey either has been trained to take apart an ATM, or he's just a curious monkey. Monkeys are curious, if books of my childhood taught me anything.
The whole banking game, we end up repeating ourselves, don't we, with the ATM machine and the PIN number.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so
everything, we repeat ourselves when we repeat ourselves when we're trying to get money.
So PIN stands for personal identification number.
Yes.
So you're saying personal identification number. And the automatic teller machine.
Yes.
When you say ATM machine.
Yes, when we're trying to get cash,
yeah,
we're constantly repeating ourselves.
What is it about banking that
I don't know. Why does banking cause this?
Wow. The ATM, I've thought of that before, but the PIN number hadn't occurred to me.
People call it a PIN number.
Police were summoned to the State Bank of India at this kiosk after the cash machine was found partially disassembled. Can you imagine that? You go to look at the footage to see, okay, we'll find out who did this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to the footage, and it's monkeys. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but right off the... I tend to think...
Do you just suspect everything's monkeys in India now?
I suspect someone's putting them up to it, is what I suspect. That they're working for somebody. Don't you?
I would always assume, yeah, that a monkey reports to some sort of criminal underworld.
Right.
That they're in cahoots.
They're smart. They can do things.
RAS syndrome is what you're talking about, Darren. RAS, which stands for redundant acronym syndrome.
Redundancy.
Yes.
Is what we have when we're at the bank.
Right. So the HIV virus.
Yes.
The V in HIV stands for virus.
Right.
LCD display. The D stands for display. Interesting. The UPC code.
Yes.
The C stands for code.
Yes.
So this is it's not limited to banking.
But it's rampant in banking.
Right. How about this? If someone says, would you please RSVP? The P in RSVP stands for please. So you're saying please too many times. Interesting. RAS, the redundant acronym syndrome. RAS syndrome, then, I guess, is what you should call it.
Yes, see? Causes it right there.
Number two.
Thornton, Iowa. Ever been? It's in Cerro Gordo County, so that's part of the Mason City metropolitan area. Thornton, Iowa.
Yeah, we used to go to Mason City quite a bit. I don't remember seeing a sign for Thornton.
There's a hog farmer there who's in the news because of a postcard that he got from his sister. Sister Annie sent Paul Willis, again, a hog farmer up there in Thornton, sent a postcard from California.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's a picture postcard here of a San Francisco. Got it in the mail, and it's always nice to get postcards. That's not something people do as much as they used to.
Oh, clearly not.
Right? We sent a postcard when we were at Yellowstone this past summer, last year.
To me?
No, not to you.
Oh.
To friends and relations.
Okay. What are you getting at?
Just saying.
What are you trying to say?
It was interesting.
In a very roundabout way.
You know how I feel about you. You're like the closest thing we have to family in this town. I told you that a couple of times last night on the patron-only show. Did I make you uncomfortable by telling you how much you mean to me? Do you not like that when I'm...
No, I mean a lot to a lot of people.
Okay. So, all right. So in Thornton, this guy gets a postcard. When we sent the postcards this past summer vacation, back when you could go and do that sort of thing, I just got a kick out of it. And you pay a little bit less for the postage on a postcard.
Do you?
Yeah. They give you a little deal on that.
Guess it's been a while.
I know. We really need to start sending more postcards.
Except anyone can read it.
Is that what the problem is? Is that where they fell out of favor? Thornton man gets the postcard from his sister Annie. Here's why it's news. Not Iowa man gets a postcard from his sister.
I was going to say, otherwise we are really struggling for stories.
No, the reason this is news is he got the postcard thanks to the coronavirus.
In what way?
His sister sent the postcard in 1987.
Oh yeah, that was a pivotal year.
He just got it. And he's like, what is this about? He calls the post office.
It just showed up in the mailbox?
Yes. He got a postcard from his sister. The note was mailed in 1987. He just got it. Postcard from his sister, Annie. He notices that the card has a picture of his sister on a Grand Canyon hike.
And Will Clark.
There's a San Francisco postmark from December 1987. And then there's another postmark, on the postcard here from April 29th. So one is from 87 in San Francisco, and then another is April 29th,
Des Moines. This was something that was lost at the post office?
Yes. He calls the post office. He says, why does my sister send me a postcard in 1987 and I just get it now?
Well, we just found it.
They said, we're going through some deep cleaning because of COVID-19. And we must have just unearthed it. That we were doing a deep clean of some... There were some machines back there that we hadn't cleaned in a while. And we were moving stuff around.
And there it was.
And then we found your postcard. Same thing happened to a woman in Illinois last year when a postcard showed up at her home that had been mailed 26 years earlier. It was a card from...
Well, I can see where a postcard could slide and hide, right?
Right. That postcard was sent to the previous residents of her home down there in Springfield. They had gone to Hong Kong and done some traveling and sent the postcard. She's like, I don't know these people. I don't know why they're in Hong Kong. Also, this is a very old postcard. We did some kitchen renovations in the house that we had in Davenport years ago. And when we were doing the demo in the kitchen.
I remember this.
There was a postcard.
In the wall, right?
From the 40s, from World War II. There was a postcard that was in the wall. It was like behind the kitchen cabinets. And it was a naked hula girl.
Uh-huh.
It was a little bit of cheesecake.
Wasn't the guy like admitting to an affair or something?
The sailor who had sent the postcard to that house had... very explicitly, on the back of the postcard, detailed what he claimed he had done to that young lady.
Right. I had,
this is what she looked like.
And I tapped
right
it.
Before, and I, then he goes into some details I can't go on. I can't really, you know, you're connecting the dots.
Uh-huh.
So it was wonderful. I'm reading this postcard from World War II. This sailor, I don't know his story, but I do know that when we put the new cabinets in, I made sure that the postcard stayed there. Because it doesn't belong to us. That belongs to the house, right?
You rightfully thought that's where it belongs.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's not mine.
So when, 20, 30 years, when somebody does another demo of that kitchen, they can find a postcard from what will probably then be 100 years ago, right?
They've probably already found it. They didn't care for what you did to the kitchen.
Number three.
Story here of a guy that really went after it. This is a story out of Modesto, California.
I can take it no more.
That's wine country, right, Modesto? Is that where the vineyards are?
That was the town. Modesto, that was the town of Scott Peterson and his wife.
Oh, right.
Right?
He killed his wife and put her in an oil drum or something?
Yes.
This guy, not quite as bad as Scott Peterson, but pretty bad. Pulled off a wine heist on a moving wine rig, which I'll admit I didn't know was a thing.
Very James Bond-like.
It's like a tanker, right?
Tanker full of wine?
But it's wine. This guy jumps...
The good stuff.
You must be, right? If it's in a tank or truck. Modesto police and the California Highway Patrol arresting Gabriel Moreno after he jumped on a moving tanker truck.
I must have this.
Carrying bulk red wine. He climbed under its belly to unscrew a valve and then drank the wine as the truck was traveling up the highway.
He's superhuman. How do you shut that, though, once you open it?
That's a good question. Dash cam video shows this guy in a sedan putting his hazards on, directing the truck to come over to the side of the highway. The truck driver pulls over, thinking, oh, maybe I got a mechanical problem.
Yeah.
Then this fella comes out of his car wearing nothing but underpants.
And latches on, huh?
You can then see the dash cam video of him running up to the passenger side of the truck out of view. As the truck driver pulls back onto the freeway, another onboard camera captures this guy.
He's attached to it.
In his underpants, holding on for dear life.
What is the thought process there? The
camera shows Moreno running to the passenger side of the truck and out of view. Truck driver pulls back onto the freeway, and another onboard camera captures him jump back into view, and then
stuck to it like a frog
onto the back of the wine truck. Again, he's not wearing a shirt. He's not wearing. He's just wearing underpants. That's all it takes. Then he undoes a
yeah. How do you put that back?
How do you even know what that does?
How do you know? Well,
maybe he thought. Did he think it was wine? Like, does the truck say wine?
It must have.
Or was this guy looking to get, some really high-octane stuff? Here's the report from the local CBS affiliate here. Wine tasting on the go. The wine comes gushing out.
Of course it does.
And Moreno is seen on tape here.
With his head getting kicked back.
Gulping as much as he can. He's just going after it. He can't get enough.
The tanker. The video then shows him climbing underneath the truck as it hits freeway speeds. That's when the driver noticed the dashboard gauge showing he was losing fluids. Hundreds of gallons of red wine. He called the CHP.
I listened to radio. I've listened to thousands and thousands of calls. This one's up there in the top 10.
The truck driver found the suspect, Gabriel Moreno, now under arrest, in an unusual position. Moreno had unscrewed a valve underneath the truck it was moving up Highway 99. That sent the tanker's wine gushing and Moreno gulping as much as he could.
This individual is able to release the wine from under the tanker, and he placed himself underneath the tanker in such a manner, the best way to describe this is somebody doing like snow angels.
This Highway 99 red wine heist, big and bold, with a finish in handcuffs.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
That would be like trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Trucking company says they lost 1,000 gallons of red wine. Most of it ended up there on the highway. That would be the equivalent, Darren, of 5,000 bottles of red wine.
Huh.
And this guy's just underneath as the tanker's doing.
And then even if you're successful, yes, you're going to get so intoxicated, you're just going to let go.
Is it a good idea to get drunk while you're hanging on for dear life under a tanker at freeway
speeds?
Well,
none of this sounds like it was a good idea.
No. It's a great story, though.
I got a hankering.
Did he take his shirt and shoes off because he knew he was about to get dosed or completely covered in red wine?
Why ruin other clothing? This will never come out.
So he might, like, was this a spur of the moment thing, or has he been planning this forever? Because it feels like
I think
there's some planning going on.
That might be the most impressive person I've ever heard of. That is,
he's just Indiana Jones underneath the tanker as the wine is gushing out.
Was he wearing suction cups of any kind?
No, just underpants. That's it.
He's Superman. I mean, that's a superhuman feat.
It really is. It really is. The video of this is tremendous. Watching this guy, he knows exactly where to go on the tanker.
No, I don't think he's a villain. That man's a hero.
Is he not wearing clothes because he's crazy, or is he not wearing clothes because, as
you said,
didn't
want to ruin it?
Yeah. You can't get red wine out of stuff.
Never get it out.
Number four.
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 Darren, animals do the darndest things.
They do.
And we like to chronicle their adventures with a segment we call Dave and Darren's
Animal Farm. What an enthusiastic crowd.
Yes. Four legs good, two legs bad. Here is the Animal Farm for Friday, May the 8th. We begin, Darren, with a story here of a wallaby who's been found making an escape, wandering around.
Was he in Port Byron? Because I remember a friend of mine swore that he saw a wallaby.
A wallaby?
saw
Port Byron.
Saw a wallaby, somewhere in the Port Byron area years ago, on the loose.
Well, could, like, maybe it escaped from Niabe Zoo, or...
I think he was seeing things. I'm pretty sure he was seeing things.
This wallaby has been found wandering the British countryside. Now, that's not where they live. This thing escaped from a zoo. Police in Britain said a surprise jogger gave them a tip as to where they could find the wallaby. Can you imagine that? You're out for a jog and you see a...
It's like when I was driving up to Chicago one time and I looked up from the radio or whatever it was.
You thought you saw a deer.
No, I thought I saw raptors.
That's right.
It was deer. It was like three or four of them.
And you thought they were velociraptors.
For a moment, I did.
Oh, my God. It's dinosaurs.
This is all too real.
Why would you think that?
I don't know if it was just the... It's like,
raptors.
It's like your buddy who thought he hit a ghost.
Yeah, he hit an owl.
He hit an owl.
And he thought it was a ghost because it was a white owl. I was weighing him a comb in the dead of night.
It's pitch black.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this white owl is on his windshield.
He pulled over the side of the road because he thought he was throwing up. He was going to vomit. Like, he had dry heaves because he had convinced himself that he hit a ghost with his car.
And that meant...
I hit a ghost.
And if you think you hit a ghost, you're like, not only is that a problem for me in this world, might have caused some real damage in the next one.
That's the best part of the story. I had convinced myself that I hit a ghost, and then I realized it was an owl, but I still thought it was kind of a ghost. And to pull over to the side of the highway and just kind of dry heave for a little bit, I hit a ghost.
This is galactically bad.
When I die,
when I die,
someone's going to be waiting for me.
Someone's waiting for me. How can I live with that?
Well, this jogger sees the wallaby.
No one wants to die, but I've got this on top of it.
Now, the jogger called the cops there in Cambridgeshire. Cambridgeshire, England, by the way. Rod G, for those who do.
Mm-hmm.
And he reported that it was a kangaroo, which I could see making that mistake. A wallaby for a kangaroo if you're out for a jog in England and you see one of these things.
Well, it makes more sense than an owl and a ghost.
Mm-hmm. It was a wallaby, which is like a smaller kangaroo. That's what they look like, little tiny joeys, I believe. So anyway, they were able to capture the wallaby, and is the wallaby going to be all right, Uncle Darren?
It'll be fine, little snot-nosed Davy.
How about this? A former pet snake mistakenly released into the wild in Ontario. Conservation officials up there in Ontario.
What kind of care are you giving your snake that it can escape?
The snake. Whatever happened to the snake?
This is what happened to the snake. And then this is what happened to the snake.
Conservation officials up there in Ontario are asking members of the public, please keep an eye out for this former pet snake that accidentally got released into the wild near a conservation area. The corn snake was found by a caring individual who mistook it for a native species and then released it into the wild. But this is a pet that either escaped from somebody's home or was abandoned by its previous owner.
Made a break for it.
Corn snakes are not native to Canada. And they think, you know, they got to find this thing because it's not going to survive the winter. Corn snakes don't do so well in, you know, the cold. Most snakes don't do well in the cold.
Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, they're cold-blooded snakes. Did Paula Abdul teach us nothing? The reason we do not want this animal in the wild...
I guess I wasn't paying attention.
...is because there's always a chance that pets of any kind can carry an illness that could be transmitted to the native wildlife. Even dogs and cats can potentially carry pathogens dangerous to wildlife, they say up there. So keep an eye out for the corn snake, all you Canadian listeners. And if you find it, you know, tell a Mountie or whatever it is you do up there. Here stateside in Oregon, a peacock is protecting a duck nest in the patio area of a bar in Oregon. Employees at this bar say this peacock has taken over the role of protecting these duck eggs. A mother duck laid the eggs there in the patio area, which is wide open for ducks right now because nobody's sitting on patios drinking beers.
Right.
The Rain Bar and Grill said the duck made her nest in a planter in the patio area, which is closed because of the pandemic. Employees said a short time later, a peacock took up residence on the patio.
Move.
And has decided to accept the role of protector for the duck and her eggs. And the mother duck, for her part, doesn't mind the presence of the peacock. In fact, it seems like happy to have some backup.
Kids, I want you to meet your new dad. I met him at happy hour.
The head bartender tells local TV station KMTR-TV there in Oregon, quote, they're great friends. He's like her little protector. He kind of walks around and hisses at people if they get too close when the mother duck is there. I'm gonna admit something that I'm ashamed to admit this, but are peacocks in the wild in the United States? How is there a peacock wandering around in Oregon? Are peacocks native to America? Are there parts of our country where you can just see peacocks in the wild? I had no idea that was a thing.
Typically by NBC affiliates.
Right. Carrie the peacock. That's the mascot that shows up at events for Channel 6. You can go somewhere in America and just see a peacock.
Is there a peacock season?
It's always peacock season. Large flock of migrating birds showed up on a Florida weather bar. The radar system of a Florida TV, they detected this large mass heading from Cuba to the United States. And it was not a storm, it was a flock of birds. The display of bright colors flared up Wednesday morning on the WBBH weather radar that's set up between Cuba and South Florida. Meteorologists saying the mass on the radar, not a storm, just a large flock of birds heading north to the United States as spring temperatures take hold.
Looking for freedom. Best of luck to you.
They're flying to America. Are the birds going to be all right, Uncle Darren?
Don't know, little snot-nosed Davey. It's all very up in the air.
Yeah, this isn't really the best time to come to America, guys. Finally, Darren, an escaped emu found playing in a neighbor's sprinkler the day later.
It's a sprinkler.
This I know it's a sprinkler.
Sprinkler's on.
Sprinkler's on. Michigan family
too
said...
Too cold for the sprinkler this weekend. Little heads up, everyone.
Michigan family
don't,
says...
Don't put the sprinkler out this weekend and ask mom to play in it.
Michigan family says their 6-foot emu was found playing in another resident's sprinkler about a mile away from their house a day after it escaped. This emu's name is Darwin. He's 8 years old. He escaped from an enclosure in the yard on Sunday night.
A lot of escaping going on.
What is that about? This emu, I guess, was in an enclosure, and he figured out how to unlatch the gate and then took off. Emu, I believe, is another, like the wallaby, that's a creature that's native to Australia. Why you would have a pet emu, I don't know. That seems like a weird thing to have, right? Kim Churchwell said she and her mother, Lee Kinderman...
Hello, I'm Lee Kinderman.
They rushed into action when a neighbor a mile away reported seeing the emu running through the sprinkler in their yard.
Sprinkler's on. I know, I'm the one who turned it on.
The family says Darwin has escaped before, but the ongoing coronavirus pandemic made this latest incident seem more unusual. Quote, I think if anything crazy is going to happen, it'll happen right now. People think emus are not very smart, but people don't give them enough credit.
This is an evolving story.
And that's a look at Dave and Darren's
Animal Farm.
Five.
Number five. Is this something you could share with the rest of us, Amazing Larry?
Ladies and gentlemen, heaven has no brighter star than our next stellar guest. He is the pride and joy of Cambridge, Illinois, and he joins us here on his favorite day of the week. Make him feel welcome. It's Amazing Larry.
Hello, Larry!
Hello, Larry.
Happy Fest.
Well, how was the week, Larry? Did you get some good reviews for being on last Friday?
Yeah, from a lot of people, yeah.
Well, that's good. And the station's still sounding good?
Yeah, it's booming through here.
Now, are you going to, do you have your windows open? You're going to enjoy some fresh air? And...
Oh, no. No way.
You don't want any fresh air?
No, that coronavirus is in the air, and I ain't going to get it.
Oh, okay. But there's not, like, anybody right outside your window hanging out breathing.
Yeah, but it's in the air. Mm. It's airborne.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what not to do or what to do. You're a real live boy, and you make your own decisions. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what have you been up to, Larry? What are you doing these days?
Well, I've always wanted to keep my mind sharp. You know, I'm not getting any younger.
Right. So you're doing some mental exercises? Is that the idea? Or what are you doing?
Well, I always wanted to dabble in magic.
In the black arts, in the dark arts. In magic. You're interested in magic.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, I guess that would keep your mind sharp.
I mean, you kind of have a magician's name. Amazing Larry sounds like a magician.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, our buddy right here, Dave, he's something of an amateur magician.
It's one of my hobbies.
Ah. Well, I got my cape. I want.
You've got...
The only thing I'm fine is my top hat.
So you got a cape and a wand. Have you actually worked on any magic tricks?
No, I got to read the book first.
Okay, so first things first is...
You got to get the look down.
You got to look the parts.
Right.
Now, what kind of tricks are you interested in learning?
Well, being Lavora used to be a magician.
Well, what advice would you have for him, Dave?
I wasn't really. I mean, I just did card tricks. It wasn't like I was a magician.
Oh, I thought you were a woman in half and...
No.
Holding balls in the air.
No,
you know?
No. I would just do card tricks. I would say, you know, first and foremost, Larry, the number one magician's code is you never reveal a secret, right? That's number one.
Yeah, but if I give you enough beers, you tell me.
Yeah, you're probably right about that.
So what tricks are you interested in learning, Larry?
Well, you know those floating balls, you know how you... Yeah. They're just out from nowhere, you know. You can get them to go anywhere.
Floating balls?
Floating balls? Huh.
Them?
No, that's quite an illusion.
Yeah.
And then maybe you would be able to perform for the people there in Cambridge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Marvel at Amazing Larry and his floating balls.
Now, you said you had made a cape and then you also fashioned some sort of wand?
Yeah.
And what else did you need to complete your look?
Well, I got to have my top hat.
Oh, you can't.
And I have a top hat, but I can't find it.
Oh, well, that's, you don't want to have to go out and buy another top hat if you already have one. Where would you have misplaced it?
Oh, probably in one of my Fibber McGee closets.
So you just have to do a little more digging.
Yes.
I hope there wasn't a rabbit in the hat when you put it away.
You know, when you open the closet doors, you know, everything falls out, and I hate that. And then I got to put it back in. I don't know why. I just don't straighten them out.
Right.
Maybe I'll do that this weekend so I find my hat.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like you don't have some time on your hands. I mean,
I'm a pretty busy guy, though.
You're a busy guy. Well, you don't really have anywhere to be for a whole week, and that would be here.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
But he's much busier now than he was a couple of weeks ago.
Well, yeah, learning the magic tricks.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to keep you razor sharp, Larry. I think that's a fine idea.
Now, let's hope it works. Oh, don't forget Mother's Day this Sunday for everybody out there.
I was thinking about celebrating it on Saturday, Larry.
Why is that, bruh?
Because the weather's going to be better.
Oh, that's right. We're supposed to have a frost Sunday.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about getting a hold of Mom and bumping it up one day. Do you want?
Did you buy Mom something nice?
Did I find something nice for my mom? I got her some stuff for the garden. She's going to do a garden again this year. She hadn't done one for a while, but she thought this probably makes sense to do a garden this year.
Are you going to buy Wanda anything?
Rhonda's not my mom.
No, but they kind of act like a mom.
Well, yeah, that's kind of... That's a bone of contention, really.
That comes
up. Hire a plant or something.
Well, I'm pretty sure her son will take care. Ty will take care of Rhonda this weekend.
Oh, that's right. She got... Okay.
Yeah, that's not really my responsibility, but I know that Mother's Day is a big day for you, and I'm sure that you would like to wish all of the mothers listening a happy Mother's Day, right, Larry?
Yes, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there on Sunday on Mother's Day.
From?
And plus, today is the best day. It's Friday.
It really is.
You got to incorporate that into your magic act. Like that could be your magic word instead of abracadabra.
Yeah, you could do something. Larry, what do you think of this? Of some sort of magic trick where you're using a calendar and somehow you turn all the days of the week into Friday.
That's great.
Oh, yeah, Pippa.
Now, the only problem with that is you would have to figure out how to do that on your own. Unless you were able to maybe, I guess maybe you could have some sort of correspondence with a magician and maybe email him with the idea. It's like, this is what I would like the trick to be. How do I do that?
I'm in deep thought.
But that would be a great trick where you can basically say, oh, look at this normal calendar.
I think you open with the floating balls and your closer is, I make every day Friday. And then people are going to go nuts for that.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a long, it doesn't have to be a long act. You can just knock it out in like a couple minutes time.
I want it to last a little longer. I don't want to put on a 5-minute show.
Yeah, give the people what they paid for.
You want it to last longer than our Spanksgiving Day parade, right?
Yeah.
Remember when you were the Grand Marshal of the Spanksgiving Day parade, Larry?
Oh, I'll never forget it. And when the boy was up there with Spank the Monkey in the tower.
You were in a tower?
Sure.
What, the WHBF tower?
Well, no, we were in downtown Davenport.
Oh, we were in Davenport. That's right.
Yeah.
Where in the heck was you at, Petra? No. Oh, he was in the bar, I bet.
No, I was there. I remember.
Well, then how come you asked? You was in a tower?
I don't remember them being in a tower. You were in a tower?
And they was looking down at me in the limousine.
I remember we had to get him a limousine.
Yeah, we got you a limousine.
Better learn magic too.
Yeah.
Keep your mind sharp, Petra.
Well, I'll just come up with the ideas and then you figure out how to do the magic trick.
Okay, little Bobby.
All right, Larry. Well, again, if you wouldn't mind letting everybody, because I kind of forget from time to time, as all these days kind of bleed together as to what day we're dealing with.
But boy, do you have trouble with him remembering stuff?
Oh, yeah. Constantly, Larry.
I've got a lot on my mind, Larry.
Like what?
Oh, I don't know.
He's got you there.
I don't know. This.
Well, if you dye that hair black, you'd feel better.
This and that.
Keep that sun from going through that gray hair and, you know.
Now the sun's good for you.
Fizzle my brain up there. It's getting too hot.
Yeah, I from what I understand, that you try to get all the vitamin D you can these days. Larry, I hope you have a great weekend.
Well, I hope everybody out there has a good weekend, and everybody in Cambridge and surrounding area, and I'll talk to you guys next Friday, huh?
All right, yeah. Larry, look forward to it, buddy. Take care.
All right. Everybody have a good weekend.
Amazing Larry here on the Dave and Darren Show.
That would be a hell of a trick.
The calendar thing?
Yes.
I think that would be great.
That would be good.
I'd pay money to see that.
At the Henry County Fair.
Sure. And there you have it, another successful installment of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
Just the best. It was brought to you by Capriotti Sandwich Shop. They are celebrating their 10th year in the Quad Cities, and they would like to thank all their fans for making that possible. Capriotti's currently open daily from 11 till 7 at 3016 East 53rd Street in Davenport. Capriotti's, extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle.
Right on, guys. Have a great weekend. If you're lucky enough to still have your mom with you, make sure you take very good care of her this weekend with a phone call or a wave through a window or however you're going to do it during these unprecedented times. And if you are a mother, thank you for all you do. You little mothers, my name is Billy Wanky. And I'm a pro.
They love their mothers.
Till we get a chance to do it for you again. Hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock out, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.